All right, then, we start hour number two. I'm Jim Rome. We are live in Southern California. Nice to be here. Program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Back to hour number one, I talked about the Dallas Cowboys off the very top. What a disaster. What a disaster. Coming off that beatdown that Buffalo put on them on Thanksgiving Day, we knew exactly what they were up against. That was a critical game against another team that was not playing well. Prime time, they come out and they have their best drive of the year to start the game. They even forced a turnover with their defense. It all looked good, and then they fell apart. But that's the Cowboys, right? They've got a glass jaw. They got glossed, and they do every time they get hit. They've got a glass jaw. They come out, they look like the heavyweight champion of the world, and then the Cowboys counter, and they fall apart, and they crumple in a heap. Like I said in the opening segment, they got hit once. They crumpled in a heap. They spit out their mouthpiece. The referee comes over, doesn't even bother to start to count, waves them off immediately, and they're out cold. And yet, still on top of the NFC East, which I will get to momentarily. Not only are they on top of the NFC East, if Philadelphia loses to New York, and as crappy as that division is, that could actually happen, they're still on top in the NFC East. So I've got a dream now. I've got a dream. My former dream was for a team to run it backwards. That happened. I'm not into that anymore. I've seen that. I have a new dream, which I will share with you momentarily. 1-800-636-8686. Follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. Green Bay Packers is one of those teams in the NFC. You've got three teams at the top of the NFC at 10-2, and then you got the Packers a game back. And they're in the hunt. Wide receiver Alan Lazard joins me at 40 past this hour. Dan Wojcicki, LA Times national NBA reporter, joins me in the third hour. Alves, week that was, coming up. All right, so let's talk about Steve Belichick. Steve Belichick, son of William Belichick. Steve Belichick is a thing now. Actually, a pretty big thing. Even though he's been hanging around on the sidelines with the team in some sort of official capacity going back to 2012, he's become something of an overnight sensation. And it all pretty much started Sunday night when NBC plastered his mug and his mullet and his scraggly beard all over one of the highest rated broadcasts of the year. Now, a lot of you had never seen him before, and a lot of you thought that NBC accidentally started showing an episode of Cops in the middle of Sunday Night Football. You know, for you really old folks listening, remember back in the day when the network went with Heidi, the little Swiss gal, and took off a prominent playoff game, and everybody was outraged. That's how that felt. Like all of a sudden, right in the middle of a Patriots game, they switched over to an episode of Cops. Like somebody was asleep at the switch. Which brings me to this point. Do I really need to tell you that personal appearance is not show fodder unless it relates to Andy Ruiz and his weight gain before the rematch with Joshua? Then I'll allow it. Not even with Carson Daly, all right? Like, I understand that he was a heartthrob. I understand that he's put on a pound or 5 or 10, whatever it is. How do you know it's not medication? Like, I don't know what's going on with Carson Daly. I really don't care. Stop sending me that. I don't care. The only thing that he has been requesting are triple hoagies. Yeah, I've seen that, clones. It's not funny. Like, I don't know why he gained weight. I don't care why he gained weight. What if he's got a reason for gaining that weight? It's got nothing to do with me or my talk show. Anyway. Alvin. I'm talking about Steve Belichick and how personal appearance still is not show fodder. Do you really need me to explain that I don't give a damn that he looks like Walter White's best customer? Or that it's not all right to say that he comes off like somebody who sleeps in the dumpster outside of Gillette? None of that stuff matters. He's not Joe Dirt. He's freaking Steve Belichick. the offspring of NFL royalty. All I care about, all I'm really interested in, is what he does for a living, and not how much ice that you think that he packs into a meth pipe. With that being said, okay, I don't care what he looks like. With that being said, I do care how he sounds. And I've got some audio for you. Audio of him talking to the media. Never mind that it's a Bill Belichick assistant who's allowed to address the media. I mean, how weird is that? But he did speak with the media. And he is a coach. And he's the coach on a high-profile staff, on a high-profile team. And he is the son of the best coach ever. This week, the Pats have got an enormous game against the Chiefs. They need to win this game to keep the Bills off their backsides in the AFC East. And a quick side note, quick sidebar. Hey, Mafia, anybody want to get up in here and rep the 9-3 Bills? I've been asking for it every single day. I'm getting nothing. Anybody want to hype the playoff-bound team from Buffalo? 716 calls. Go to the front of the line today. Stop waiting. Get a vine. Jump through the damn table in the jungle right now. The Ravens are coming in. All right, back to Steve-O. I want to play this audio bite. This is him with the media talking about his memories of growing up around the game. Trust me when I tell you, it's not what the guy says, it's how he says it. Listen carefully.
Yeah, I got a couple memories of those.
And you want to share?
Any good?
Yeah, those are between me and him, yeah.
When did you first start watching film?
I've been watching it for a while. Like I said, football is my thing. I remember watching Primetime with Chris Berman back when I lived in Cleveland, and just watching highlights, learning, going into my dad's office and Cleveland, spending time there, trying to watch film. Like I said, I don't think I knew what I was doing, but I was trying.
Any shot you can tell us who's calling plays on the defense?
I got it wrong.
And then that time, Dad got kind of amorous with my sister. Hey, remember this forever. Put this down. Mark this down. December 5th, 2019. The day human cloning was born. Yeah, I know. My listeners, you listeners, were glossed the clones like 30 years ago. This is the real day that human cloning became a thing. That's not Hoodie's son. That is Hoodie's clone. Pretend for a second that I did not tell you the audio was from Steve. Listen to it again. Close your eyes. Picture the sunken, solemn face of his pops. Do this. Close your eyes, concentrate intently, and listen. And you tell me who you think this is.
Yeah, I got a couple memories of those.
And you want to share?
Any good?
Yeah, those are between me and him, yeah.
When did you first start watching film?
I've been watching it for a while. Like I said, football is my thing. I remember watching Primetime with Chris Berman back when I lived in Cleveland, and just watching highlights, learning, going into my dad's office in Cleveland, spending time there, trying to watch film. Like I said, I don't think I knew what I was doing, but I was trying.
Any shot you can tell us who's calling plays on your defense?
I got it wrong.
Yeah, it was amazing. I was a kid, and I was in Cleveland, and my dad was the coach, and we sucked, and then dad got fired, and then dad was pissed, and then we didn't know what was going to happen, and then we were on to New England, and we met Mr. Kraft, and then my dad was smart again, and then we were rich, and then we started cutting off all our sleeves, and this guy's incredible. I mean, it's official. There are now two Bill Belichicks in the National Football League. They say the apple does not fall far from the tree, right? Apparently, the drawstring does not fall far from the hooded, cut-off sweatshirt either. I mean, holy hell, that is really scary stuff. If I'm being honest, really scary stuff. You need some context. All right, do this then. If you don't believe me, try to pick out Steve from Bill in the next clip and Bill from Steve. You tell me. You try and decide which is which.
What difference does it make? Give me an F. Give me a C plus. I mean, I don't really. It doesn't matter. Give me whatever you want.
I've been watching it for a while. Like I said, football's my thing.
We're going to take it day to day. It's like we always do.
Yeah, those are between me and him.
Do you have any other questions? Really, you should take it up with our public relations department, which is very capably run by Stacy and his staff.
Yeah, I got a couple memories of
it. We're just trying to win the game, that's all.
Yeah, I was at the game.
I lived in Cleveland.
We're getting ready for Cincinnati.
I lived in Cleveland.
We're getting ready for Cincinnati.
I lived in Cleveland.
We're getting ready for Cincinnati.
Cleveland.
Seattle.
Cleveland.
Seattle.
Cleveland.
Seattle.
All right, so the only way you can distinguish between the two of these guys, right? The only way is one just sounds angrier. One is angrier. One is more confident in himself because he's been doing it for a long, long time. The other one's a little bit sheepish. But you give the kid a little more time, he's going to sound just like his old man. He already does. He already does. The reason Hood did not name his kid Hood Jr. is because he doesn't have to. Is anybody anywhere not going to know exactly who the hell that kid belongs to the second he opens up his mouth? Again, listen to the two of these guys. If not for the utter disdain that the old man has, you would not be able to tell these two apart.
We're just trying to win the game, that's all.
Yeah, I was at the game.
I lived in Cleveland.
We're getting ready for Cincinnati.
I lived in Cleveland.
We're getting ready for Cincinnati.
I lived in Cleveland.
We're getting ready for Cincinnati.
Cleveland.
Seattle.
Cleveland.
Seattle.
Cleveland.
Seattle.
Exactly the same. Exactly. Cleveland, Cincinnati, Cleveland, Cincinnati. Hug me, Amanda.
We're just trying to win the game.
How about your old pop? How about your old pop? You like that? You like that?
Yeah, I was at the game.
I lived in Cleveland.
Give me a little smooch. Give your brother a little smooch.
We're getting ready for Cincinnati.
I lived in Cleveland.
Like I said, is there anybody anywhere that does not know who exactly that kid came from the second he opens up his mouth? Check that. The second he starts talking, you know, both these guys have this uncanny ability to say words without moving their lips or opening their mouths at all. These dudes are freaking ventriloquists. And the only reason Steve does not wear a hood like his old man is because you don't need a hood when you've got a glorious Mississippi mud flap on the back of your neck. I'm telling you, we're a few weeks away from Steve doing Bill's teleconference calls and nobody even knowing the difference. And you know what everybody always says? You don't know Bill. You don't know anything about Bill. Bill is nothing like you think he is. Bill is a riot. Bill is a blast. Bill's got this dry sense of humor. All right. If Bill's that funny, you know what he'll do? He'll tell his kid Steve to do the next teleconference call. Hey, Junior, you know what? This will be funny. You do the conference call this week. You deal with the media. And let's see if anybody even knows. I like that, Dad. Let's do that. Can I? I'm telling you, if you can't see these guys, if you don't see them, you would never know who's doing the talking, except for the old man is just angrier. The kid does not sound angry. He actually sounds all right, kind of, like a pretty nice kid. He hasn't been around it long enough. Neither of them say anything. Okay, let's be straight about that. The kid might be nicer, might be more approachable, but he still does not say anything at all. Of course, he's the old man's kid. Neither of them say anything, and they both mumble like a bus is going to blow up if they reach a certain decimal volume. They don't get too high, they don't get too loud, they don't enunciate too clearly, and they don't say jack. So, to the big question surrounding the Patriots right now of who's actually calling the defensive plays, would anybody really know if they came out and they told us? You wouldn't. Not when they're damn voice twins. You wouldn't. So, if you've been waiting on Bill Belichick to leave the NFL, your wait just got extended another three decades because his clone, not his son, but his clone, is 32 years old and a haircut away from being his old man.
I got it wrong.
Again, you tell me, who is Steve and who is Bill?
That's all. Yeah, I was at the game.
I lived in Cleveland.
We're getting ready for Cincinnati.
I lived in Cleveland.
We're getting ready for Cincinnati.
I lived in Cleveland.
We're getting ready for Cincinnati.
Cleveland.
Seattle.
Cleveland.
Seattle.
Cleveland.
Seattle.
Indecipherable. It's impossible. The only way that I knew the other was the old man was with that disdain. Like, yeah, I was at the game. I was at the game. I know.
Yeah, those are...
Welcome to the show, Steve-O.
Those are between me and him, yeah.
Yeah, that's between me and him. Like the kid, he actually showed you a little personality, as much personality as a Belichick can have. But more than his old man, I'll give you that. You know where his personality comes through? It's with that freaking mullet, man, that beautiful mullet. And I don't know if the old man is just old school and won't go with the mullet or is incapable of growing the mullet, but that's where the kid is showing himself. Certainly not in the way he talks. He's not allowed to say anything. We know this. So the kid's probably thinking to himself, all right, the old man won't let me talk. He's like a ventriloquist. I'm like a puppet. All right, so what do I bring to it? It's got to be my look. I'm going to go with the mullet. I'm going to go with the scraggly beard. I'm going to be my old man. I can't change my last name. There's nothing I can do about that. I sound exactly like the guy. All right, I'm going to go with the mullet. That's what I'm going to bring to it. The mullet. The mullet. Can't take that from me. I'll just say, hey, Dad, what do you want me to do? It's my haircut.
Like I said, football is my
thing. The barber looked at me and said, I can't do anything with that. How about the mullet? Love these guys. Oh, and by the way, the offense has got real problems. Not that that's Steve's problem. The offense has got problems. What's going to happen? Pats, Chiefs, rematch. Ravens, Bills, who you got? Cowboys, hammered again last night. I don't care what they did in the fourth quarter. That game was over long before then. NFC East, a disaster. But I do have a dream. All of that coming up. And your phone calls. And it's a getaway day. I love it. Going back to New York. I'm on the NFL on CBS. No. Please. Do not forget Sunday. It's another NFL on CBS doubleheader. First, Baltimore's MVP candidate, Lamar Jackson, takes his show on the road to Buffalo. I've been hammering that all week long. I'm trying to get you Mafia, Bills Mafia, Bills fans in here to talk about that. And I'm thinking that if you're not coming in, it's because you're terrified. You should be. Lamar Jackson, Ravens, Jackson. Bills. Then you've got a rematch of last year's AFC Championship game, the Pats and the Chiefs. All starting with the NFL today at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific on CBS. I will be back there for that. Back, just got an email from the best producer in the game, Drew Kalisky. He's on top of his stuff. As always, I will be there 12 noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. And then I will be back here Monday morning doing my thing. All right, stay with it. We'll come right back. Telephone call is coming up next. Stay tuned.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
It is Dell's biggest Cyber Monday week ever for business. Save on powerful computers with Intel Core processors, plus free shipping. Call 877-BUY-DELL, 877-BUY-DELL, or visit dell.com/SBCyberMonday. Alan Lazard is coming up next segment. Bills, Ravens in Buffalo. Bills have nothing to apologize for. I don't want to hear about who have they beaten. Who have they beaten? They're 9-3. They've beaten almost everybody put in front of them. They are a postseason team. Now, they've got a chance to make a real statement. But they've got nothing to apologize for. It's still hard to win in the NFL. They're a playoff team. They're going to the playoffs. They're a virtual lock at this point. And let's see what they've got. Also in the NFC, this is something I will get into on the NFL on CBS. I want to get into the Saints and the Niners. I love that game. And in fact, the Seattle Seahawks too. The Seahawks are the 2 seed in the NFC right now. And the Niners were the 1 seed until they lost to the Ravens. And now they're the 5 seed. But they're all 10-2. That's how crazy it is in the NFC right now. So how does that shake down? Who is the team to beat? And how about the Rams? The Rams look really good against Arizona, but that was Arizona. How will the Rams do? So the NFC has got a real logjam at the top, and the Rams are trying to stay in the fight somehow, some way. Bills Mafia. I've been asking for it. Finally, here's a call. Drew in Buffalo. What's going on, Drew? How are you?
Hey, Romy. What's going on, man?
What's up?
I just have to let everybody know, everybody wants to underrate the Buffalo Bills defense, especially at home. We lock quarterbacks down. We're going to shock the football world. We are going to keep them touchdownless. Mark my words. We're going to keep them touchdownless. We're going to shut Jackson down. We're going to stop that read option. McDermott has experience with that with Cam Newton. We're going to shut it down Sunday. Mark my words.
All right, Drew, you got it. He called his shot. Look, I said, where's the Mafia? The Mafia comes in, and this guy says, we will keep them touchdownless. Your odds-on MVP favorite is going to be held touchdownless. I like that D. I do like that Buffalo D. Now, what does that mean? Touchdownless. Because we know the Ravens have the best kicker in the game, if not the best kicker ever. Are you going to keep them field goal less? Are you going to keep them safety less? Or just touchdown less?
Touchdown.
It's a big challenge. All right, we'll see. But at least that's a guy coming in to call a shot. 1-800-636-8686. Home dogs plus 6.5. If you're the type of person who likes to look at that and you like to bet home dogs. Like last night, the flight deck was all over that with me. I'm like, who you like, deck? I'm going. It's the flight deck.
Going with the home dog.
Flight deck's got a lot of theories on betting. One of them is, if he likes the matchup, he will take the home dog. I said, I don't know, man. I'm feeling pretty good about Dallas. They've got their backs to the wall. I don't know, boss. I like the home dog. Sure enough, home dog killed it. Flight deck was right again. Flight deck right there in response to my question. Who you got, Ravens or Buffalo? He said home dog plus 6.5. Is that what that is, deck? Are they 6.5? Depending on where you go. Plus 6.5 for a 9-win team. Who you got? Or if you're not about that life and you're just about playing it straight up. Like, for instance, if the Bills cover and they lose, it's still a loss, right? If you want to talk about the matchup in the AFC East, then you've got the Pats and the Chiefs. Who you got there? It's an amazing weekend, which is why I'm fired up to be going to New York to be on the NFL on CBS. Nothing better than hanging out in a production meeting before a weekend like that. I go back there and I sit in a production meeting with the likes of JB, Boomer, Phil Sims, Bill Cowher, Nate Burleson, Jason Lockenfora, Drew Kalisky, before a huge NFL doubleheader. It's like the best day ever. It's so fun. And a Tops appearance with Amy Trask. I got to break out a real good suit for this one. Wah! It's Adam Hawk. Hey, Rome, just because Steve Belichick is the son of a legendary Bill does not mean that he and his Billy Ray Cyrus lettuce deserve any less respect from the masses. Thanks. Jerry Jones, glasses, cleaning bitch son-in-law. Matt in Vancouver. I don't know what that means, Matt. Wore Steve Belichick driving an 88 IROC convertible when he's not cooking Crystal. All right, I do know what that means. I don't think that's the case. And finally, Rome Slice. Did you see Jera in his suite? Even I thought that old man looked confused and defeated. Regards, geriatric Ike, struggling to use a smartphone. Geoff and Lincoln. You know what about geriatric Ike? Geriatric Ike booked Danny DeVito for next week on the pod. Get the hell off geriatric Ike. He booked Danny DeVito, who I've never spoken to. Wore the flight deck, helping Ike fish his dentures out of his hot chocolate. When we come back, Alan Lazard joins me. Here's a sports update for you. Greg Cadell.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back. Having a good Friday. Nice to have you here. I am Jim Rome, and again, I am live. I'm in Southern California. If you're on hold, you want to stay there. More telephone calls coming up momentarily. But as I mentioned, we are joined right now by a wide receiver for the Green Bay Packers. Had a huge game in that win over the Giants. 3 receptions, over 100 yards, and a TD. He shared the Packers Offensive Player of the Week award with Aaron Rodgers. 22 receptions, 330 yards, 2 TDs since that Week 6 win over Detroit. He was a 2-time All-Conference player at Iowa State. Undrafted back in 2018, Green Bay is 9-3. They're in first in the NFC North, and they are hosting Washington Sunday. Alan Lazard is my guest. Alan, it is so good to have you on. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, Jim.
It's good to have you. All right, so you're coming off that first 100-yard receiving game of your career. You did so in the snow in New York. A lot of moments to hit on, but overall, how good did it feel to go on the road, get that win, and have the game that you had?
I just felt great, you know, just to go out, back out there and be able to get our offense back in the rhythm of things. Just be able to go out there and have the production that we did. I think it was kind of a great way to lead off to go into this week.
So, Alan, take me through the 37-yard TD late in the first quarter. What did you see on that play, and how did it feel to score and celebrate a little bit in New York?
Oh, it was awesome. You know, I motioned over there, and I saw the safety was playing so far off that I knew I was going to get a pretty good head start on him. And as long as I stepped on his toes and was able to flip his hips, I was going to be wide open for Aaron to go make a play. And luckily, you know, he put a good ball out there, and I was able to make it.
Alan Lazard joining us. You know, I want to go back to you and your relationship with Aaron Rodgers in a moment, but what's it like to play for the Packers and go on the road and still hear a chant of go Pack go? Like, what's it mean to be a part of that Packer tradition and get the kind of support that you guys get pretty much everywhere you go?
Oh, it's such a huge honor to play for this organization. Not only to play with such great players, but just the richness of the tradition here and such a winning history. Such a huge honor. And be able to go out there and play with guys like Aaron, it's just a very humbling moment, and just I'm very privileged for it.
You know, it's one thing to play with him, but it's quite another, I think, to have the kind of support that you have from him. I mentioned your stats since that Week 6 win over Detroit, and the fact is you burst onto the scene right then. But Aaron Rodgers had been hyping you for a long time before that. So what's it mean to know that you've got a quarterback, and not just any quarterback, but that quarterback have your back and believe in you the way he does? What's that like?
Oh, I mean, it gives me the ultimate boost of confidence, knowing that, you know, a guy like him, with his caliber and his talents, that he's willing to step up, you know, and say the things that he has said about me and to put me out there and to be able to go out there and produce for him. It's just a huge honor and such a humbling moment for him to say those things and be able to go out there and play with him.
So when we talk about the things he says about you, it's pretty amazing because Aaron Rodgers is a really demanding guy, and I mean that in the best way possible. He's demanding of himself, and he's demanding of those around him. He's demanding of the coaches. And when he was talking about you, Alan, he said, quote, it starts with his habits. I mean, he has really good habits. I talk about it in the offseason a lot. The way that you approach your job is very important to your opportunities. I think it's a direct correlation between your preparation and the opportunities you get. And then he went on to say even more about you. So my question, you and I talked back when you were in college, but where do the habits and your work ethic come from?
100% back in college. You know, I think they definitely weren't as good as they are today when I was in college. But the coaches that I had, Coach Campbell and Coach Wade, the strength coach there, they definitely instilled like a dog mentality in me. And, you know, after going undrafted and whatnot and being in Jacksonville, I decided to realize that my opportunity to be successful in this league was starting to close. And so once I got to Green Bay, I knew I had to capitalize on this short opportunity that I had. And obviously, the rest is history.
Yeah, I love what you said about those guys helped instill a dog mentality in you. What do you mean by that?
Just going out there and just competing. It doesn't matter, you know, if you're tired. It doesn't matter if you're sore. No one cares. I mean, at the end of the day, we want to win. And so we have to do whatever it takes to win. And there's no excuses.
Alan Lazard joining us. Then there's that now famous moment in the Detroit game where Rodgers went to the receivers coach and he asked, quote, if number 13 could come in for a little bit, end quote. You got in, you responded, you had four catches, 65 yards, and the touchdown in that win. Going into that game, though, you had never caught a pass from Aaron Rodgers in a regular season game. What was it like then to get that shot and make the most of it?
Oh, it was such an incredible moment. Just to be able to go out there and produce on Monday Night Football especially, just living out my childhood dreams was something that was very endearing to me and something I'll never forget.
All right, so going back to Iowa State for a minute, you committed to Iowa State even though bigger programs started to come in and recruit you. As you look back, what kind of memories do you have from your time at Iowa State?
Some of the best. You know, I met really great people there. Some of my best friends to this day are from Iowa State. And even though my record and my career wasn't how I thought it was going to be, I'm still very happy and satisfied with my decision of choosing to go there, because I feel like if you look at the program now, you know, I think my goal going there was to leave an impact on the program and a change in the history there, and I think that's what I did.
No, that's absolutely what you did. In fact, when you and I talked a couple of years back when you were killing it there, Tom Manning, your offensive coordinator, was there when Matt Campbell arrived. He called you a culture changer and that your impact still lives on and carries on there. So what does that mean? You just touched on that. What's it mean to hear that? And how do you go about trying to be a culture changer? Was that the plan? Did you go there trying to change the culture?
You know, I went there just trying to win games. And whatever it took, you know, I was going to do it. So I think as far as working hard, developing that bond with my teammates, and just being able to rally everyone together to realize we all want to achieve the same goal and to be able to go out there and do that through the season. So, yeah, I think that I was able to do that at Iowa State.
Packers wide receiver Alan Lazard joining me for a few more moments. Then when it came to be evaluated for the draft, you played in the Senior Bowl, but you did so on a bad ankle. And it was a time when a lot of guys might have skipped that. Why was it important for you to keep battling on that ankle? And what did it feel like when you did that and still went undrafted?
You know, obviously going undrafted wasn't in the plan at all. But, you know, I just wanted to play on, you know, even though I didn't have the greatest ankle at the time, I still wanted to play just because I'm a competitor. And there was kind of a stigma around me that I was soft and I didn't try hard. So I think after a year and a half or so, I think I've kind of proven that wrong to people.
Man, it is so hard, right? Like labels, whether they're fair or not. Like how challenging is it when you get hit with a label, fair or not, to shake that label?
They were hard, you know, because to myself, I knew what my talent was. I knew what my roof and my potential was. But to everyone else, you know, this is how they viewed me. So I kind of took a humbling moment, stepped back, and realized how others perceived me, and I wanted to change that.
Right, so you could have lashed out. You could have been angry. You could have been bitter. Others have been. But instead, you spend your first season with Jacksonville. You put your head down. You went to work. How much did you learn during your time in Jacksonville?
So much, so much. Coach McCardle, you know, I give him a lot of contribution to my game of where it is today, and as well as Coach Hackett, who is our offensive coordinator here now, but was with me in Jacksonville. He's really helped me to teach me to learn the NFL offensive game, how to set routes up, and just overall just how to be a good football player and a good teammate.
Yeah, and you mentioned Coach McCardell. Keenan McCardell used to come on the show quite a bit when he played. Did you know him as a player? Did you ever see, like, video of him playing? And what was he like to play
for?
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I used to watch him all the time growing up and whatnot. So just be able to go out there and sit there and practice and just watch him coach and just listen to him and him pull up his old highlight tapes, of course, just to remind us of what he used to do. But I always appreciated my time with him, for sure.
Yeah, like what would he say? When he would pull up his highlights and show you guys, how would he talk about the way he played the game and the things he did?
You gotta run! You gotta run! That's what he used to always just be on my butt about, not running hard enough or not dropping my weight fast enough. But, you know, him disciplining me like that. Every Wednesday after practice, we used to do some extra drill work in Jacksonville. So I contribute a lot of that, my success, definitely back to those days.
All right, so you are modest, you are hardworking, you're humble. Is there any temptation for you right now to tell all those teams that passed on you, hey, what do you think? How do you like me now? Or is that not just the kind of fuel that you're running on?
Yeah, that's for sure. You know, it's in the back of my head of, you know, being doubted my entire life, really. So that's just what keeps me going and keeps me fighting. But at the end of the day, you know, I have one goal, and that's to get to the Super Bowl and win that. So once I get there, then I can tell the other teams that they missed out.
I see you working. Green Bay 9-3 on the year. They're first in the NFC North. They're at home on Sunday against Washington. He is playing big. He was undrafted, but a two-time all-conference player at Iowa State and the co-offensive player of the week for the Packers, Alan Lazard. Alan, great to have you back, man. Thank you so much. Good luck this weekend.
Thank you, John. I appreciate you.
Appreciate you very much. Those stories about he and Aaron Rodgers are so great. Aaron Rodgers going to the sideline and going to the wide receiver coach and saying, hey, can number 13 come in here for a little bit? Can number 13 come in? Number 13 got the shot, came in, responded with four receptions, 65 yards, and that touchdown in the win. And remember, again, at that point, he had not caught a regular season pass from Aaron Rodgers. And if Aaron Rodgers is going to take the time to say, listen, this guy is really detail-oriented. This guy prepares extremely well. This guy has great work habits. That's the highest praise you can get from Aaron Rodgers. The highest praise you can get from him other than, hey, can number 13 come in here and run a few routes? It's good stuff. Keenan McCardell was great. I used to love having him and Jimmy Smith on the program. Good, good dudes to talk about or talk with. 1-800-636-8686. We actually had a famous tour stop back in the day. I went to Jacksonville back in the day. And we had, in fact, it was not only an event, it was a weekend of events. Let me think. Anybody in Jayville remember that? We did a show, a live show at the stadium, I want to say. And that goes way back. Tony Baselli, my man Rob Johnson, Jeff Kopp, like way, way back in the day, did a show, did an appearance that night. The appearance, I want to say, was like in a strip mall in a bar. And in that same bar, there was like a gun shop nearby, a wig shop. Then the next day, we did an appearance at a bar that was on the water named Sloppy Joe's. I think all of that went down in 1 week or 1 weekend. 1-800-636-8686. Jacksonville was a thing. And then there was a Super Bowl in Jayville. Don't forget that. But he's a Packer. My first appearance in Green Bay was in 96. Man, it was so cold. Also another great stop. Which gets me to thinking that it came up recently. Could we reboot the tour stops? They would never be like they were back in the day. But what would a Jungle Tour Stop 2.0, or better yet, not a tour stop, a Jungle World Tour 2.0, what would that look like? I'm thinking about it. I'm talking about it. 2020 might be the year for the reboot. All right, coming up next hour, I've got Dan Wojcicki. I've got a dream. In fact, I'm going to hit that when we come back. I've got a new dream. My original dream was a team running it backwards. That happened. I thought I had nothing left after that, but I do. I've got a new dream, and I'll hit you with that when we come back.